Now you need to get ready, okay? Because today I am going to preach an old-fashioned Baptist come-to-Jesus sermon.
Amen.
Get ready, okay? And I don't want to apologize for what I'm about to do. I just want to be upfront with you so that you know exactly what to expect from this message. Okay, I'll be really honest with you. Okay. Some of you play with Jesus. You sit on the edge. You refuse to make a full commitment. You just kind of want everybody to think you're in Jesus, but you know for a fact that you've not made Jesus your personal Lord and Savior. Okay, and I'm here today to confront you with that. Okay, this is the moment. I'm doing it because it was Jesus Christ himself who said, I am, meaning Jesus is, the way, the truth, the life. Nobody, not you or anybody else you know, no one comes to the Father except by me, he said. What that means is, if you want to go to heaven when you die, there is only one way that you will get there, and that is through Jesus Christ. You will not get to heaven by following the teachings of Buddha. Muhammad will not lead you to the Holy Father. And I don't mean the Pope. Confucius will not lead you to God. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. In order to secure your place in heaven, you must accept Jesus as your Savior and as your Lord. There is no other way to God. Now, your grandmother may be as holy as was mine. You may look at her and hold her up and think she knows Jesus, and because I know her, he'll love me too. Think again. You don't know anybody who is going to be able to get you past the pearly gates. Okay? You may be saying, I can buy my way in. I'll just make big gifts to the church. They'll be so impressed. God will say, oh, I love you and let me in. No, he won't, no matter how big your gift is. You may be saying to yourself, well, I can get in heaven just not by being as bad as Joe. Okay? Listen to me. Perfect. That's what you've got to be to get into heaven. And there is none of us, not even me or Billy Graham, who have ever done it. We can't. Do it. You cannot get into heaven any other way except through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And if you're making plans some other how, they will fail. The only way to heaven is through Jesus. Now, I full well know that this is not the message the world sends. The world wants us to believe that all religions are roads, all religions are ways that lead to the same place. So you pick the one you like, or better yet, put together your own religion. Take a piece of this one and a piece of that one, and you make it up as you go, because they all take you to the same place. The world wants us to believe that if you follow any religious path, you will end up in the kingdom of God called heaven. It is a lie. Not sent to you by the world, but sent to you from Satan, who wants to steal your soul and keep you from the reward of heaven. The only way to the Father is through the Son, Jesus Christ. I know that that is not the message that Hollywood sends. The great celebrities of our age want us to believe that everybody goes to heaven just because they do. When you die, regardless of how you lived, you'll end up in heaven. You know why they tell you that? Because of the way they live, and they've got no hope in themselves, and they know they're going to hell, and they don't want to repent for it. They just want to take you along with them. It is a lie. Not sent to you by the celebrities in Hollywood, but by Satan. Because he wants to keep you from experiencing the reward your eternal Father is offering you, eternal life in heaven. And the only way you can get that is through Jesus Christ the Son. I know that what I have said to you so far this morning is entirely and completely politically incorrect. The politicians want us to believe that the goal for all of us is peaceful coexistence and social justice. But coexistence, not saying anything about the truth, allows innocent people to go to hell. And justice takes us nowhere. Justice means you get what you deserve, and if that's what you want, fine. You'll end up in hell because the cost of heaven is perfection, and you can't pay it. We deal in grace, folks, not in justice. Peaceful coexistence and social justice are not the open gate to heaven that the politicians would have us believe they are. It is a lie. Sent to us not from the politicians, but from Satan, who wants to keep our souls from receiving the reward the Father offers. The only way to heaven, the only way to the Father, is through the Son, Jesus Christ. If you think you're getting there some other way, you think again, because your plan will fail. There's no other way to the Father but through Jesus Christ. Now, for the last 2,000 years or more, the world always gives the wrong answer to the basic question. And if you look real carefully at the passage of Scripture that Peter read in your hearing just today, you will see that even back then, that day, the world was given the wrong answer. On the day about which Peter read to you, Jesus was off by himself praying. When he was done praying, he came back to the disciples and he said to them, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" Basic question. Who is Jesus? It is the question which matters today most and above all else. Who do you say Jesus is? I heard Billy Graham this morning. He was preaching one of those. He was a really young guy. So I know it's an old tape, okay? All right? Okay. And at the end of the message, Cliff Burrows came on, and he urged people who were listening by television to call. He said, "This may be the most important decision you'll ever make in your life." And I found myself saying to good old Cliff, "No, it's not maybe. This is the most important question you can ever resolve. Who is Jesus?" Because, folks, the answer to that question will determine where you spend eternity, in heaven or in hell. And it's up to you. So Jesus says to them that day, "Who do the crowd say that I am? He asks a crucial question, and three answers are quickly given by the disciples. Some say John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Now, John the Baptist get all hooked up in the Scripture because the Old Testament says that the prophet like Elijah will precede the coming of the Messiah to prepare the world for his coming. And those of us who are Christian know that John the Baptist was that prophet who came into the world in the spirit of the Old Testament prophet Elijah to get the world ready by telling them to repent. Can I meddle? Am I allowed to meddle? Okay, over in this room they don't care because over there I want to meddle. Okay? When you walk into the church on Sunday morning and I can tell just by standing back there that you're just angry, you know what you need to do? Repent! You need to repent, not the person you're angry with. Okay? Because you just walked into the Lord's house filled with contempt for his word. What does he tell you to do? Forgive, thank you. And how many times does he say you should do that? Yeah, see, bunches of time. So if you can come into God's house and be angry at somebody else, you need to think again, because if you want justice, baby, he's got every right to be angry at you. Because you're the sinner. You did it. And you just did it by getting angry at somebody you wouldn't forgive. Is that okay? I did that all right? I meddled fine? No names mentioned, but you know who you are, because I saw you. Okay? You know it. It's going on. how you get ready to accept Jesus, folks. You look at you and you say, you know what? I'm not worthy. If I got justice, I'd die. But here he is, offering me eternal life. Some said John the Baptist, some Elijah, some say one of the prophets, they said. Israel had not had a prophet like the Old Testament prophets in 400 years. God had been silent for 400 years. And those who understood that yearned for the coming of a prophet because God would break his silence and tell the nation what it was he expected. You know what happened, though, those who were looking? Jesus wasn't the prophet they wanted. He didn't say the things they thought a prophet ought to say. You know what they needed to do? Repent! That's what John was telling them when he came to get the world ready. But all of those answers, while close and important, every one of those answers was incorrect. And the world's answers to the Jesus question are always inadequate and incorrect. They never seem to quite get there. They miss the point. They mislead. You ready? They tell people lies. And then Jesus said that day, he said to the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Oh, I love Jesus. Puts it right to them. See, they can't rest in the answers the world gives because they're lies. And they can't lean on somebody else. They have to decide for themselves. You hearing me? You have to decide. So Jesus looks the 12 in the face and he says, "Who am I to you?" And that's the question you have to answer right now. That's why we're preaching this sermon. That's it. You've got to decide. Right now, today, you must decide who Jesus is to you. And good old Peter. Don't you love Peter? He can't hold it in. It just comes rushing right out of his mouth. He can't keep the confession inside of him. He yells out in front of all the others, "You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God." Oh, folks, thank you, Peter. Because Peter openly acknowledged that Jesus was and is the Messiah. He knew in his heart that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. He was confessing before the whole world that he knew Jesus to be what he is, the only way to the Father. And folks, I tell you today, again, Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the only way to heaven. But Jesus didn't stop there. Oh, I wish he had, because that's where the church wants to stop. We want to say all you have to do is say it with your lips. If you just say with your lips that Jesus is your Savior, you'll be in. It's okay. But that is not where he stopped. Look at the text. First thing he told him after that was what was going to happen to him because he was God's Messiah. He told them that he was going to be abused, he was going to be condemned, and eventually the very religious leaders who they respected and trusted would nail him to the cross and he would die. He told them what was going to happen to him. That he was going to be killed to show them God's love and to carry their sin to the cross. And then he told them the truth. On the third day, he would rise from the dead and he would give them life. And then he made it really clear. If you want it, if you want the life which I have to offer you, Jesus said, then you must declare me Lord. Oh. You have to take up your cross, he said, every day. Oh, we don't want that. I don't want a cross. I want Jesus to tell me I'm fine. I'm perfect. I do everything his way. He loves me. We want gentle Jesus, meek and mild, who demands nothing in return. But look at the text. He said, if you are accepting me as the way, the truth, and the life, it means you will lay down your life. And if you don't, if you want to hold on to it, count yourself dead. But if you give it up and resolve that you will live your life to please me and only me, when you die, you will live. Look at it. That's what Jesus says. He who believes in me, he says, and lives his life for me, having laid it all down to follow me, that one will never die. It's there in the Bible, in the very text that was read to us just moments ago in this very room today. So here it is. You get to pick. God lays before you the choice. You choose Jesus and you live. You pick anything else and you are as good as dead. You. For the truth is this, Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, and there is no other way to the Father but through the Son. You pick. A couple images going through my mind. Right now I see the great gates before the altar in heaven. Okay, where God stands. Great iron gates, huge high gates, and they are swinging open. Right now in heaven, the gates are swinging open because right now Jesus is saying to you, this is the moment. If you've been playing around surrender, put it away. You've got to choose me, pick me. He wants you to choose life. Right now, those gates are open to you. And Jesus himself is standing before the great altar there, begging you with his hands out to come to him, to choose life. But the choice is yours, not his. And then my heart breaks, because I know that last Sunday there was a person in our congregation who I saw warm for the first time to the gospel. I saw him do it. I was rejoicing in my heart. And then I heard on Tuesday he went home and his brother was killed. When he went home, I heard on Tuesday that when he went home, his brother was killed in a motorcycle accident. You young people, please listen to me. You think you have the rest of your life before you to decide whether or not you will choose to serve Jesus or not. You think that. But your life, the one before you, may consist of nothing more than a single breath. Like that, it can be gone, changed by an accident, by stuff. You don't know what's going to happen to you when you leave here. You don't even know what's going to happen to you while you sit here. You might have a heart attack and drop dead right now. You do not know how much life you have left. Don't mess with this. If you know in your heart, if your head is telling you right now that you haven't settled things with God, that you have not really chosen Jesus, maybe a long time ago you even were baptized here in this church, and yet you know in your heart that you've not been living your life for him, that you've not been totally committed to him, that you've not laid down your life and taken up your cross. You know if you're resisting Jesus. If that's what you've been doing, this is the moment. The gates are open. It's up to you now. You must choose. And if you do not choose, if you sit there and are passive, you are choosing. Because God's saying, take me. take me. And if you don't take him, you're rejecting him. You're turning your back on Jesus. And if you die with your back turned to Jesus, you're dead. But if you will embrace him, life will never end. For Jesus says, he who believes in me will never die. So here it is. Jesus and life. Or anything else and death. You we're going to stand together. We're going to sing a song. You know what I really want you to do? If you're that person who needs to come to Jesus today, I don't care if you come up here to me. When I was a boy, they used to make you walk the aisle. You'd have to come all the way up from your seat, and you'd have to confess before the pastor and the church and all that jazz. I don't care about that. Okay? There's somebody in your life, probably sitting real close to you right now, who knows the way to Jesus. Okay? When we sing this song, you need to go to that person. Okay? You need to go to him and say, help me to Jesus. Help me find it. What do I need to do? And they'll tell you how. Okay? They'll show you. If there's nobody in your life, then you need to get down on your knees right now. When we start, just turn and kneel down and wait. And I'm going to tell you, here's the deal. Those of you who know, if you see a person fall down on their knees, you go to them just like that. And you begin to minister to them in the name of Jesus. You begin to show them the way home. Okay? It's a matter of life and death. And life is so easy to have. Not just temporary life, but eternal life. In the kingdom of God, where there is no sickness, no pain, no sorrow, and never dying. Right now, as we sing, you are.